If you're headed to the emergency room, should you worry that you might be filmed as part of a reality show?
Join us tonight on the front lines of New York Med, where the fight to save lives is fought case by case.
Every time you leave your home, you're taking risks.
Well, our next guest says, no, cameras have no place in the ER, but so far, the legal system does not agree with her. Let's back up. In April 2011, Barbara Chanko's father-in-law, 83-year-old Mark Chanko, was struck by a garbage truck when he crossed the street in New York to buy groceries. He was taken to New York Presbyterian Hospital, where he died of his injuries. His family gathered in the waiting room. Doctors delivered the shocking news. More than a year later, Mark's widow, Anita, turned on the show New York Med during a sleepless night and heard her husband's voice asking for her. She then watched his death and heard the physician again delivering the tragic news. The Chankos did not know their father's case had been filmed or that their doctor was wearing a hidden mic. No one had given consent. In 2013, the state cited the hospital for violating Mr. Chanko's rights, but a lower court dismissed the family's lawsuit. They're appealing. Barbara Chanko, Anita's daughter-in-law, is a medical ethicist, and she joins us from the NPR studios in New York. And first, sorry for your family's loss.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, and as you well know, the hospital and the network, ABC, both say his identity was hidden and that the show was part of their news division. It wasn't entertainment, so it's protected by the First Amendment. You say what?
Well, first of all, we would say that it's not news, that he was a man crossing the street for milk and bananas, and he was injured and taken to the hospital with every hope that he would live. It's really impossible for us to fathom how the care that he received in the emergency room and in the operating room at the hospital would qualify as news.
Well, what about their claim that his identity was hidden, that you couldn't tell it was him?
Well, we could tell it was him. I mean, we saw his body. His face had been digitally blurred. His voice had been digitally altered. But we definitely heard him. We understood it was him. We heard him ask for Anita.
And his wife.
His wife, yeah. And it was just heartbreaking. Just because you digitize someone's face doesn't mean that they are unrecognizable, especially to people who know and love him.
And tell us more about that, about Anita Chanko watching, turning this television show on. What else did she see?
Well, as the episode transpired, she recognized the doctor who had cared for Mark. She then saw him being treated. She saw and heard him ask for her. She saw that he was doing worse. The team around him was becoming more frantic in their efforts to care for him. She witnessed a lot of the life-saving measures, the resuscitations, the intubation. She saw the team stop their efforts and put their hands up and declare him dead. You know, she watched the doctor leave the OR. She watched the doctor say, oh, I'll go tell the family. And then she saw him once again enter the room where we had been waiting. And when he broke the news, she just relived that moment all over again.
She saw her husband die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the doctor was wearing a hidden microphone. You had no idea that he was recording you.
We had absolutely no idea. In fact, we were so incredulous to think, you know, when this happened, we were watching it and we wondered, how could it have happened? How could this possibly be actually on television? And we called, my husband spoke with a lawyer up at Columbia Presbyterian and asked about the miking. Asked, you know, did they dub that in afterwards? And she said, no, ABC was in charge of miking and he was miked. And it completely undermined the trust that we had in the hospital and its staff. I mean, it just blew it right out of the water.
I mean, the doctor was called Dr. McDreamy in the promotion for it. They're alluding to the popular fictional show Grey's Anatomy. Do you think that the presence of the cameras impacted your father-in-law's care?
We totally believe that it did. You know, and also, I mean, these crews are dressed in scrubs. They look like staff. If the hospital and the crew is trying to deceive a patient in extremis, it's pretty easy to do. Put some scrubs on them.
The tape has since been pulled. We haven't seen it, but you felt that the doctor was talking quite a bit to the audience as opposed to your father-in-law.
Certainly.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so the doctor, who was a chief surgical resident during the episode, spent a lot of time talking to the cameras instead of caring for or directing the care of my father-in-law. It was horrifying to watch that little clip of and that physician. I kept thinking, why is he not paying attention? Why is he rattling off a list of injuries and the treatment plan instead of being at the bedside? And so, you know, what it shows to me is that reality shows prove that cameras in the ER turn some doctors into actors.
Look, I'm sure that the hospital would say, and other doctors have said, that the cameras there are for educational value and that any doctor who knows he's being filmed is going to do even better with the patient because he knows that he's being filmed. But your point is taken that you thought it might be a distraction. You're a medical ethicist. What is the law here? What rights do people have in an emergency room?
We would say that the providers, that the hospital really had a responsibility in terms of decision making when they decided to go forward with this show, and when decisions are particularly values-laden, like the ones in this particular situation about whether to have a reality TV show going on in your hospital, they really need to be meticulous about their process. So leaders need to really review all the important facts. You know, when they were deciding to go to sign a contract with ABC, did they talk to their patient population and say, what do you think?
But values are one thing, and obviously you're an ethicist, but there is a law. There's HIPAA. Doesn't that guarantee privacy?
No. Well, HIPAA is really about confidentiality of information. And what it does is it protects the information that patients provide to healthcare providers and healthcare institutions from release to others who don't have legal right to have that information. And so when we started filing our complaints and contacting the relevant agencies, we contacted the Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of Civil Rights, and they're the group that's still currently examining the HIPAA violations. So what we're really working on now in terms of privacy is the fact that we think that privacy is violated if the camera crew is in with the patient prior to the patient giving consent.
Well, in the AMA, the American Medical Association has a medical ethics code with specific opinions on filming patients in healthcare settings. That's part of it. It's very specific about when patients should be advised. Again, both ABC and Columbia Presbyterian again say that they felt that your father-in-law's identity was obscured. But in the meantime, let's say they had asked your father-in-law in the middle of this trauma. What impact do you think that has?
Well, I think it would be very difficult to be able to say with any certainty that a person who was in the condition my father-in-law was when he arrived in the ER could think about how being on a TV show would be something that he would be interested in.
But do you worry, too, that, I mean, the answer that he gives might somehow impact what happens to him?
Oh, definitely. For a lot of people, coming into the ER is a big decision fraught with anxiety. And they come in, and then they're questioned when offered an opportunity to be on a TV show. I have no idea what the consent process is like, but if it were me, I would say to myself, I'm being asked to be on a TV show. What does this mean for me? Will I get better care, faster care? What if I say no? Will I get worse care, slower care?
People have been shocked at this. Dr. Jeffrey Flier, who's the dean of Harvard Medical School and also affiliated with Mass General Hospital, sent out a tweet when he read about your story saying, how could this have happened? He got a tweet back from Dr. Gerard Doherty, who's chief of surgery at Boston Medical Center, another hospital, saying, the same group is filming a trauma series at your place, a Mass General Hospital, and at ours, Boston Medical Center, right now. But then he went on to write, on balance, it's good public education. So comment on that, because you have the head of one medical school not even knowing that it's happening at his hospital and another knowing that it is, but condoning it.
I think the question is on balance, right? So when we think about values and we think about what is the right thing to do, what is the burden on innocent, vulnerable people coming to a hospital for care to be the source material for education? And what are they actually educating the public on? This is not education. This is voyeurism. But somehow, you know, the public's desire for, you know, real-life trauma, reality TV, has really, I think, pushed the networks and the hospitals over the edge. And so ultimately, I go back to what I said when Anita first called me. If this happened, it has to stop.
Barbara Chanko, thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin.
We asked ABC for comment, and they sent us the statement we've been quoting from. We've posted it at hereandnow.org, where you can post your thoughts on cameras in the ER without consent. Again, that's hereandnow.org.